Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess, and this week we have a wonderful guest all the way from Australia. We have Ms. C.D. Montana. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Phyllis.
And she is the author of a book called Another Place, Another Time, and it's a story about reincarnation, hers as a matter of fact, in a former lifetime where she has found out that she was Chief Crazy Horse of our famous Ogallala Sioux. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. I don't know if I pronounced it right or not, but I'm going to
Ogallala.
Get
that. Yeah.
Anyway, she was a business woman in Australia, and she became involved in learning about last past lives and finding about guides, what, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I first found out about my guide probably about 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay. And at any rate, this started, and her guide gave her a name, Marianne,
mm-hmm.
and this started you off on your pursuit of spiritual enlightenment and on reincarnation and who you were.
Yep.
And that you had found that even you were born Australian, you had a very, very strong affinity for the northwestern part of the United States. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep. Particularly
and,
with the Sioux Indians. Yep.
Yes, and particularly the Sioux Indians. And so she decided to pursue that, and she's able to take telephone calls if anybody wants to call in about it. But, you know, this is a fascinating story. Mm. So I'd like you all to hear about it because this is a journey of one woman to find out about a former lifetime. And this is something we can all do if we care to follow up and find out who we were. Most of us are not really famous like that.
Well, I didn't think I was either, but there you go. I never thought for a minute that I would be. I used to read the books about reincarnation and how they used to say how, you know, everyone would have liked to be famous, and I used to think, I wouldn't have been. And the way I found out about Crazy Horse was just, it's just been a matter of steps right through since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just led in to buy a book in a shop about, you know, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and I hadn't gone in there to buy a book about the Native Americans. When I started reading it, I started getting all these really deep feelings, and, I kept hearing the words Crazy Horse, but I thought, oh, maybe I was in his tribe, you know, maybe I was part of that, and I just knew I'd fought at Little Big Horn and all those sort of things, but as the days and weeks went on, Marianne kept giving me more and more hints about things, telling me to read parts of the book, and then I just said to her one day, was I Crazy Horse? And she said, well, do you think you were? And I said, well, no. And she said, well, maybe you weren't. And then, but then she got me to go onto the internet and put his name in, and I thought, well, this is pretty stupid, because I didn't think he was, you know, I didn't think there'd be anything about him, because we really hadn't heard anything much over there.
You thought you were international famous old fellow, right?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, all this stuff came up about books and things, and so I ordered a couple of books, and they fascinated me because I had done regressions, and I had seen myself in the regressions as an Indian, and as I started reading the book, I could relate to some of the things I was reading about him, things that had happened in his lifetime with what I'd seen in the regressions, even his appearance, all of that sort of thing. And so I started to get more and more interested. Marianne was still helping me. I decided to come over here for a visit and just trace the lands. And I didn't know, you know, I just thought it'd be great to see where they'd lived. And she told me that they would show me where Crazy Horse is buried. And so it sort of became very exciting, and my son came with me, and the first trip over in 2003, they showed me where Crazy Horse is buried. It was amazing how they led us to that particular place.
Mm-hmm.
I had some very emotional feelings on that holiday.
Well,
I'd just start sobbing for no reason.
Well, I can understand that, because when you meet a place you've known before that was dear to you, you will have an emotional response.
That's right.
I mean, that's a validation in my book.
Oh, definitely. But it was all new to me because, I mean, I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. I always believed in reincarnation growing up, and I always felt this affinity to Indians, and I thought, I think I definitely was one. But I never dreamt that, you know, you could have those emotional outbursts of feelings that I was getting. And since that first initial trip, I mean, I've been over here quite a few times. In fact, now I have brought a home in South Dakota. Yeah, to come to for holidays. I am just, this area to me is just home. And the spirits led me to find this particular house. They made it clear to me once I'd found it that it was where we used to camp a lot when we wanted to go into the Black Hills. And they said, you mustn't buy a house in the Black Hills, because the Lakota never lived in the Black Hills. They just camped near it. And yeah, they led us to this house. And that was an amazing thing too, the way they did that. I mean, it just came out of the blue. But yeah, I just love this place. And although I still live in Australia, just to know I can come here, be a part of the land here again. Mm-hmm. It's just so much love for it.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Mm.
It's been a fascinating journey for you. I'm just taking a step at a time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I enjoyed very much reading your book.
Oh, thank you.
Very well written, by the way.
Thank you. I think I had a bit of help from the spirits with that.
Well, yes. Why don't you go into that part, too? Because that's a fascinating part, where the spirits can help you. And I'll tell you something that along those lines when you're done. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go ahead.
They told me different people, as you'll know by reading the book, different people that were in my life that had been in my previous life. And I had karma with them, and all that had to be sorted out. And
absolutely.
I mean, that was a very emotional time for me. You know, with all of... I've had the excitement of learning what I've learned and meeting up with old Lakota friends that I now journey with around here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also in the last few years had a lot of very emotional times in my life, and, you know, it's taken all my strength to get through some of those things. Mm-hmm. But I think the more spiritual you become and the more you have to do with the spirit world, as I'm sure you'd know, you learn to accept what is happening in your life, and you know that, you know, there is a reason for all that happening.
As long as, yeah, and you wander around scratching your head until you think
that's right.
Not removed.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And but I feel very blessed because, you know, nearly 3 years ago now, I met up with three people that had shared my life.
Uh-huh.
Two of them are still with me. In fact, one of the ladies, Jewel, she's actually staying with me now. She drives over from Illinois when I come here to South Dakota and spends a couple of weeks with me. And we actually did an adventure on Monday. We went to Bear Butte and started exploring areas at Bear Butte that we hadn't been able to get into before. And, because there's nobody around and we found where Crazy Horse had sort of vision. And it's just amazing the things that we do find. And but it's the things that we're led into from the spirit world that amaze me the most. Like finding Crazy Horse's father's pipe a couple of years ago. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The way we were led to that. And we went back last year to show our other friend Carla where we'd found it. And she couldn't believe. She said, but how on earth did you find it? Because it was like about 50 or 60 metres away from the cemetery that the spirits had led us to. And yet we just... I knew that I was being drawn out to there. So I do believe that that is where Crazy Horse's father is buried.
And this pipe probably
had, this pipe had made its way up to the top. And I think the spirit world thought, well, it has to be with you. It can't be with the wrong people.
Right.
Mm.
That makes good sense.
Yes, yes.
That makes great sense.
Yeah. So, but no, it's just been amazing.
It's been a journey of reconnecting, from what I understand.
It has been, definitely.
And I'm amazed. And so has your husband come to see it?
Well, I'm not married.
Oh, you're not.
No, my husband, we separated, and that's all sort of in the book. But he was somebody from that past life, and that was, a strange. But no, I'm actually on my own and have been now for about 4.5 years and very happily on my own. I feel as though at the moment, you know, I just want to sort of do these things and,
That's excellent.
Mm.
Yes, I've shed a few pounds in that direction myself.
That's right. It can be good.
Yes, it can be. It's very uplifting, to say the least. And I'm sure on the other side of the fence, he would say the same, you know?
Well, probably.
I can't be all one-sided, you know?
No, that's true.
That's fascinating. Well, I decided, I've been being pushed to write a book myself.
Yep.
And I was told I would have help.
Right.
And I will be very honest with you, because I don't know what it's like over there, but over here, we hear about Indian guides so much that I stop and think to myself, you know, if all these Indian guides were once here on this earth, there wouldn't be room enough for the rest of humanity. So I took Indian guide, a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. Bit of salt, let's say. It's such a hackneyed phrase to me.
I think so. I know that Mary Ann, that's her spirit name, she was Crazy Horse's brother, Little Hawk, but I mean, she doesn't sort of relate herself completely to that, although when I'm out on my journeys, you know, I know who she was, but to me she's Mary Ann.
Uh-huh.
And Little Hawk was just one of her lives. And so I find that, you know, like most people that led an Indian life as a spirit would have their own spirit name. They wouldn't necessarily go by their native name. Although some of the ones that are helping me on this journey still use the name that I knew them as in that life. But I think it's more so I can relate to who they were.
That's my feeling, that that is. It's so you're comfortable with it.
Like Red Feather, I mean, he's been with me a lot over this journey, although he has now been reborn as a walk-in, apparently, they tell me so. But, like, his spirit name was Frank, and, you know, I used to call him Frank. Mary Ann always referred to him as Frank.
Not an Indian name to me. Okay.
But he was Red Feather. So,
because Frank, you know?
Yeah, I know, Frank. Because when before I even knew about the Crazy Horse issue and Red Feather and all of that, Frank used to come and visit, and Mary Ann would say to me, oh, Frank's here, and I used to say, oh, whatever. And it wasn't until later on, and he sort of introduced himself to me at that particular time as Red Feather, but it was only because we were going through that learning curve of the Crazy Horse thing. But, of course, then I found out that he was Frank. And so there are other Lakotas that are with me. There's I've been told by them there's 15 altogether. Now, I'm not sure if that includes the ones that are with me on the Earth planet that are sharing this journey, like Jewel and Carla and that, or whether the whole 15 are in spirit. I'm not sure. But I do know some of their names.
I'm sorry. I have a sense of humor that I do employ, and it's not to be meant disrespectfully.
Oh, no, look, I've got a sense of humor,
too. Yes. Anyway, when I was supposed to write this book, I was told I would have a guide who would, and the guy shows up, he's Indian, and I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I've had lifetimes as a Native American Indian, both a shaman and a female. Who was a dream interpreter.
Right.
And was the healer of the tribe at that time. And so I've had some very vivid recollections of that time. But I think, you know, all I know is I kept, you know, I just... So anyway, this gentleman, you know, stands to my left in front of me when I start writing. And I find that an odd thing to do, but I don't question it anymore.
No.
You know, and I keep saying, you know, this is a, writing a book is an awful lot like hard work.
Mm. Oh, it is.
You know, you could do, could you take up typing for me up there, sir? Would you like to sit down and do a little keyboard work for me?
I know, this is the thing. They'll sort of say to me, you need to do this. And I go, hang on a minute. And it's, no, no, now. And I go, well, you know, and then, of course, once they weren't happy with some of the things I'd written, so they wiped it off my computer.
Don't you just love it?
Ah, I love it. And luckily I did have a hard copy, but it was like from about a few months prior to when they wiped it off.
Oh, boy.
So but when I went over what I'd done, I realized that there were things that I needed to take out. I had too much information about certain things, like where the grave is. And
yeah, you want to be more generic, right?
Exactly.
You don't
and
want
so
any
I realized
kind of...
why they did it. But, I mean, they could have at least given me a bit of warning and said, well, we want you to change this without just wiping it all off.
Well, see, they don't have to do the work, see?
No, that's right.
And they got to be guys, right?
Yes.
Okay, that figures.
Yeah.
That's a guy thing.
Well, Marianne, quite often, she'll freeze my computer or turn it off if she wants me to do something, and I say to her, no, hang on a minute, hang on, and next thing I know, it goes, do-do-do-do, you know?
Persistent, aren't they?
I think, you know, people that are fortunate enough to actually believe in it and to be able to communicate with the spirit world and realize that they're not all these holy beings that are floating around
absolutely
with wings. They've got the most
not
fantastic personalities.
And some wicked sense of humor.
Wicked sense of humor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, and unfortunately they're not, you know, physical, because sometimes you like to toss a chair at them or something.
I know.
At least I would.
I know.
You know, and, you know, you forget what it's like down here, folks.
Yep. That's right.
So how did it come about that you got to know your guide by the name? I personally don't get really any names, or if I do, I forget them, if that makes sense.
Well, I think I'm just very fortunate that I think I am just a psychic being, and quite obviously I laughed when I started reading about Crazy Horse, because in the books they used to call him the strange man of the Oglalas, because he used to go around talking to himself. And
well, actually, he wasn't. He was talking to those who were talking to him, but that's
well,
the
that's,
point.
Well, no, yeah, well, he was talking to the spirit world, but of course, you know, they didn't, you know, they used to say. And so I believe I've probably always been a psychic being, so I am very fortunate that I do hear the voices very clearly and always have, but I didn't realize that we had guides and that I was talking to the people that had passed over. Like, it's not just guides. I mean, I used to talk to my grandfather. I've talked to my father since he passed and things like that. But so I feel I'm very, very lucky that way. And, of course, so then when I started reading up more about the books, and then I started reading about spirit guides, and I thought, oh, well, they say we've all got one. I've probably got one. And this book said, you know, if you get to sort of really, you know, learn how to communicate, and just, you know, maybe after a while you can actually ask, you know, your guide its name. And and I thought, oh, I'll just ask now. So so I said, what's
well,
your no, I said it like this, what's your name?
Like they're deaf.
Yeah. And this voice goes, Marianne. And I thought, Marianne, like, whoa, I wouldn't have thought of that as a name. And I was rapt, and I thought, wow. And I said, so, you know, so then I started, and I'm reading up about the books. I'm sure Marianne was thinking, thank goodness she's finally realized that, you know, I'm here. And then they said, well, you know, they can help you with things, you know, if you ask them to help you, you know, with a parking spot. So I tried that, and yep, got a parking spot, and all this sort of thing. And I just laughed, because then within a few weeks, I mean, we were just talking all the time. And I said to her one day, how long have I been talking to you? She said, oh, all of your life. And I went, oh, okay. And I mean, I really can think about it right throughout my life. I can... I mean, I did. I used to hear this. I just thought it was myself, you know, saying things like, oh, you know, do you think you should go and check the mail? And I'd go, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, and things like that. But it was
her,
you see.
Is that how it works?
Well, yeah.
Well, maybe I have been talking to mine and haven't realized it.
Yeah. If you can hear someone saying things to you like, you know, you better check you've locked the front door, you know, before you go out and that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
and,
that.
Yeah, and I'd think, oh, okay, yeah, all right, I'll check the front door.
Yeah.
And but it's them. I mean, they're just talking to you. But most people don't realize it. You know, you just think it's yourself thinking
those
things.
Yes, you think it's your mind talking to your mind.
Exactly.
Because it sounds suspiciously like your own voice, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yep, yep.
See, that's the thing.
Isn't that interesting?
I hope you all out there, the listeners, are hearing this, because I've been asked, this is about the clearest explanation I've had, is it may sound like your own voice, and no, you're not crazy.
That's right.
And I used to be... I used to hear somebody singing with me, so I'd go down the street singing, and I'd hear somebody singing in harmony with me. And then I was had a girlfriend's mother once came by, and she drove by, and she later told me she saw me going down the street singing. I happened to be singing in the rain because it was raining at the time. and she said she got the neighborhood thinking I was absolutely insane.
But, well, most people think I am, but...
Well, it helps to be a little bit crazy.
You know how you sort of, I've always been like, you know, say to people, oh, I can't get this song out of my head. It just keeps playing, you know.
Yep.
And of course, now I know that that's Marianne, because all of a sudden some days she'll just start singing a song, and she goes on and on, and I say to her, will you stop it? And she says, oh, well, I like that song. And I said, well, just stop it. It's driving me nuts, you know.
Could you
sing
quietly to yourself, please?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I say to her. So, but, I mean, you know, it's not all sort of like that. I mean, she helps me with so many things. She gives some of my friends messages that aren't able to talk to their guides. And she'll just come out with things some days, and you know, which is really nice for people to, you know, to get messages and things. But... No, I feel I'm very, very, very lucky that I can talk to her.
Excellent. Now, we just had a beep. That means we've got somebody calling in.
Oh.
Welcome.
Hello. I'd like to ask
Hi, who's this?
My name is Elaine.
I cannot hear you. Could you talk up there?
Yes, my name is Elaine.
Yes, Elaine.
I'm calling from New Jersey, and I have a question about my mom. I'd like to know if she has any messages for me. Does she visit me?
Can you hear her CD?
I can. I'm sure she does, Elaine. They are with you all the time. You may not realize it, but the spirit world is not very far away from our world. It's probably only about 3 or 4 feet above it, but it's just that they're in a completely different zone, so as to speak. So, but she'd be with you all the time. And... if you want to talk to her, talk to her, because I know that they can hear you. And I'm sure that in her own way, if she can get through to you, she will.
Okay?
Okay, and also I tell her to come in my dreams. Is there any reason why she doesn't come in my dreams?
I don't think you remember her in your dreams, darling. Yes, she does. She already does.
She already does?
You just are not conscious of that fact.
I can't hear you.
Sorry?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said she already does come to you in your dreams, dear. You just don't remember her on waking because you have such a stress factor built in about your mother and her death.
Okay,
you just don't remember it.
Okay, the other day I had a dream that my mother and I, we came to she was on the curb of the sidewalk, and there was a distance, and she fell, and then I woke up. I didn't like that dream. Was that an...
No, it's just saying that you're getting caught up and you're not moving ahead, honey. Okay? It's your mom is saying that it's more or less, unless you let go, you're going to be keep tripping up on the situation and her death. Okay? You need to release and let go and move on. And the more you do that, the more your mother will come through. CD, are you getting anything else?
The thing is that as long as you're holding on to that grief, your mother can't move on very well in the spirit world because she's probably concerned about the way you feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to release her, honey. You've got to let go. and, you know, she loves you and she would really like to, but you're holding yourself and her back. It's not healthy for either of you, darling.
Okay, is it? I have guilt because I feel, is there anything I could have done to prevent her?
No.
No. It was her time to pass.
Mm. When you're born, before everybody's born, they write their own chart, and in that chart, it has the time that you're going to die, and nothing can change that.
There are a couple of times when you can leave.
You've got your exit points, but...
Yes, there's several.
When it's time, though...
You leave.
If people feel as though they've achieved all they came here for, because coming down here is like going to school, and you come down here to learn, and once you've learned all that you need to learn, you move on. There's no reason to stay. And also, sometimes people pass away because other people like yourself that are here have to learn as well from their death.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
and part of that may be learning to let go and to hold on to grief. Because you cannot move on as long as you hold on, and she does not feel comfortable moving on either because you are not letting go.
You see, I want her to stay near me. I want to stay connected to her.
What?
I want to stay connected with my mom.
You are connected. Mm. That connection will not break, honey.
Mm.
It will not break.
It will always be there, and she'll always be around you. But you can't expect her to just be around you as like she was when she was here in the physical. It's a completely different thing.
And she has also now a different life to live.
Mm.
Until you meet her, and she will be there when it's your time to go. She will be there with you.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. Can she hear me when I talk with her? She can hear me?
Yes, of course.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Does she know I'm still grieving? She knows that?
She would know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure she would want you to try, you know, I mean, she can understand, I'm sure, the grief that you're going through, but she would want you to be able to cope with that. Hmm.
Thank you, Carl, for calling, dear.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Mm.
It's fascinating when you start talking with about what you were saying before about someone. I always thought when I heard that voice, it was just me talking to myself.
Mm. Well, so did I, but it's not.
It's not. Isn't that nice to know? And
you do get
crazy,
the different tones. Like, whenever I know it's somebody else talking to me, the tone is a little different, or they might come and touch me in a special place, and I know that that's where they always touch me before they talk to me. And that's how they can relate, you know, how I know who it is.
Yeah.
Mm, which is, you know, it's fascinating for me, especially when we're over here and we're surrounded by so many of them, and they're all pushing and shoving us in different directions, you know, just pushing on our head and really...
Mm.
And my friend Jewel, ever since she's opened up to it in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. she gets the feelings too now from them. She doesn't hear them, but she feels them.
Well, occasionally I feel a cool breeze
mm-hmm.
or something brushing my face, and I put my hand up and there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's a spirit, yeah.
And what's the other thing? Oh, yeah, I smell roses sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
And I know, I think of my mother because my mother's favorite flower were roses.
Mm.
And in the house in the country, I had a rose garden for her.
Mm. Yeah, so that's her way of letting you know she's there.
Right. That's kind of what I figured. But there are other times when I smell lilac
mm-hmm.
or jasmine.
Right.
And I'm not sure who the sound is in my house, you know. I'm wondering if I should get out the party platter, you know? Well, my mother had seen her father come into our house one time, and she talked to me about it. She said she thought she was going crazy.
Mm.
And I said no, because he died in St. Louis, Missouri, and he'd never been here to Washington, D.C. So I
yeah, but they can find you no matter where.
Exactly, that's it. So it doesn't matter where you are, and that's kind of what people should know, is that, you know, pay attention. I think also we are coming into an era and a time when, with a greater awareness that we have, more and more people are opening up to receiving the messages from those who passed on and to being able to communicate more so.
Yeah, and also I think that if you can accept death and the fact that people aren't gone and the way that life works,
right.
I think you learn to live a lot happier, and you can live a lot fuller life, because a lot of people are afraid of the unknown. And
Well, the thing is, too, the quality of life, and that's been a very important issue.
Yep.
For me. And my mother, for example, died very quickly in my arms. She died about 20 minutes of having a massive heart attack. And so there was really almost no time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But I had no regrets because, you know, our relationship was such that we were near and dear to each other. So I did not have that issue in my life that something was left unsaid. But still, it was a shock. And
I think a quick death like that is a shock, but I think in another way it's a blessing, because
her desire was never to be put in a nursing home or to suffer. Okay.
Yep.
And she went in a way that neither happened. And so
it was just exactly what she wanted. So you can't sort of say, oh, I wish this hadn't happened, because it was exactly the way she wanted it to be.
Yes, I had promised her never to put her in a home.
I
had promised to take care of her no matter what happened, that I would not leave her to the tender or untender mercies of a facility. So she did go, and I mourned her very much. I grieved very much. But, you see, I also look at the quality of life. How would she have liked being attached to any kind of a piece of equipment? That's not the kind of life I would wish for myself, let alone my mother or anyone else, you know. And that's the other thing that you could look at if someone does go. Think of the quality of life they would have if they did not leave.
Exactly. I mean, I had the opposite with my mother as what you had with yours. My mother did get dementia very badly. In fact, she didn't even know who I was. She thought I was her sister when I went to see her, and she didn't remember even having a daughter.
And that must have hurt for a while.
It was terrible. But when and the house that I was in, I'd built after she went into the nursing home, so she'd never been to my place.
Right.
And yet, when she died, I knew the night she was dying, and I didn't have time to get down there.
Right.
But I knew the exact moment she died, because she actually came through me.
Yes.
I felt her as she went out. So she. Once that spirit leaves, I mean, everything comes back to them. They know who you are. They're in that other dimension. And she found me. I mean, although she'd never been there, they do. I mean, it's just the way they travel. They don't have to have ever been to a place. They just find you no matter what.
Absolutely. Even if you're around the world. Yeah, I've had that experience when I've known someone has passed away and I have seen them. And, you know, they've shown themselves to me to let me know.
Yep.
And, you know, and I can acknowledge it and say how wonderful in many instances about the peace that comes. And I am so glad in many instances that the people no longer are ill. They no longer feel helpless and trapped and frustrated. You know, because very often that's what happens. You know, and there are those, by the way, who don't realize they've passed on.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Sometimes it can take them a while, and it's the ones that that don't realize it that have all the problems.
They keep wanting to hold on. And or they just didn't believe in life after death, and it's such a strong issue that they don't realize it. Yes, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Phyllis. This is Maureen from Tacoma, Washington.
Who's this, Maureen?
This is Maureen from Tacoma, Washington.
Hi, Sugar. How are you?
Thank you. Your program is so insightful today, and I think it's really helping people to deal with their grief when you give them some information and just see.
Oh, yeah. CD is, this is a wonderful, Maureen is a wonderful tarot reader. She's
oh, great.
And she's just the sweetest person you ever want to meet. She's just a really special person.
Good. Well, I'm calling in today because I had an amazing dream a few months ago.
Okay.
And in this dream was this Indian, I suppose he is a guide, and he took a piece of smudge stick, which is a, you know, sage-dried stick,
mm-hmm.
and he smudged the front side of my body and the back side of my body. So when, and he had this most beautiful eyes and kind of made this connection with his eyes.
Mm.
And then when I got up from the dream, I thought, okay, I'm going to get the smudge stick. So I got the smudge stick and smudged myself in the house. But I thought, well, maybe you had some insights about who he was.
Were you having any problems at the time?
Maybe. I don't think so, but I'm going to go back to my dream journal to kind of see.
Mm. Because that, you know that the smudging is cleansing.
Right.
So maybe it was someone that was, you know, trying to help you by cleansing whatever was worrying you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Native Americans used the smudging, that was what it was, to cleanse away things, you know, and
right.
purify things. So.
And I thought maybe it was a reminder from him to do this more often or something.
Mm.
But I was wondering if you had any insights as to who that might have been. Or.
No. I mean, it could be a guide, or it could be somebody that you knew in a previous life,
mm-hmm.
trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds interesting.
Mm. Because people from previous lives, they can come to you if they still think that you relate to them as they were. That's how they'll come to you.
Mm. Ah, okay.
Very interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I was wondering about that. And
mm.
I know that you seem to have a connection with Indian guides, so I thought you might have.
Yes, well, I've got a lot that are around. I don't know that. I don't think that they're actually my guides as such, but they're certainly helping me with my journey.
I
think in my instance, a lot of them, because I do know who a lot of them are, and I also know, they've given me names and what relationship they had to Crazy Horse, and you know, they're all sort of friends in one way or another, and I think a lot of them are helping me because they probably felt that they let Crazy Horse down at the end of his life. That
yeah,
is what they've told me.
Yeah, there was that issue, wasn't it?
Mm.
Explain
yeah.
a little bit to people about that issue.
Well,
a lot of people are not familiar with it, by the way.
Yeah, Crazy Horse, I mean, he had a lot of very, very close friends, and of course, like everybody else, he had a lot of enemies within the Lakota as well as the whites, and it was actually the Lakota that actually told lies about him and caused his death, and I think that a lot of his friends felt at the end that they perhaps weren't there for him at that, you know, and that they let him down in those last few days. They should have done more. And so Crazy Horse himself, I know, because I know of how I've done the regressions, and I also have the feelings myself, and I've been told by them, felt at the end of his life that he had let his people down and that he needed to help them more. And also he was promised that him and his people could go back to Montana and have their own agency and live up there, and I think he felt that his life up around those areas, it was cut short, and I know that that's why, you know, why my soul has wanted to come back to these places and finish the life that I don't think he felt he'd finished at that time. And I've been told one particular Indian that he's not mentioned in the book because I've only found out in the last 12 months, you know, who he was, but he was very close to Crazy Horse. He was cousin to Crazy Horse, and he was a chief himself, but he's helped me so much in the last 12 months and taken us to so many places, and he has said that, you know, that this is what it's all about, that they can't move on with their own agendas until they've helped me finish what I want to finish. and then they'll move on then into other lives.
Wow.
Mm.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of it does make sense.
But, you know, the hard part for me is because I'm human, you know, I just want everything to happen now. And, you know, although it's been going on now for like 5 years and so much has happened and I've learned so much and been shown so much and taken to so many fantastic places that are out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, you're driving up all these dirt roads and saying, are you guys sure you know where you're taking us? Yes, yes, just go there and you turn. You turn right about 2 miles up and we end up somewhere and then all of a sudden it's like, wow. And they, you know, and like they showed me where Crazy Horse's daughter had been buried and I had no idea that's where we were going, and that became the most emotional time I've ever known in this lifetime. It was just absolutely, I just got lost in time. It was like I was back over 100 years ago and I was just wailing and wailing and wailing. And you know, it's got to be good for your soul to get that out, though. So, but, yeah, that was just one instance, you know, and they take us to so many places and they've shown us, you know, a lot of the graves where they were buried, you know, in unmarked graves and things. And my friend jeweler started having stones made with their names on, and we placed them where we know they were buried. So it's just really nice for us.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
That is.
But one of them was actually in the back of somebody's backyard in Wyoming last year, and we're like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, my. Well, I'm far enough away that I don't expect to see you digging in my yard.
No, that's good. Oh, we didn't dig. We just sat there. I had a ball under this tree, but and we left a stone. And I do know that that particular person is in my life at this time, but in a different thing. Like,
right.
I know that it's a very close friend of mine. Well, I'm not sure which one it is, but they did tell me that this person, Lone Bear, is in my life now, and I'm very close to that person.
Well,
so, which is always nice to know, because he was a friend of mine last life, but when they told me that they were having problems trying to figure out how to get me to where he'd been, you know, where he'd been put in the tree and, you know, where he was buried, and because it was back in like 1866 or something, and I imagined it was going to be out in the middle of some paddock right away from any road, and they were trying to figure out the best way to do it. I never dreamt it was going to be in the back of this rural backyard. It was amazing.
I know you have some wonderful experiences.
Oh, look, it's just, I mean, we've had some very emotional experiences, but we've had some very funny experiences too, and a lot of them are just funny. When we look back on them, we just laugh and laugh, and you know, I'm just thrilled to bits that I've met up with these people that were born and raised in the United States, and you know, have been led to them and can share this with them. And
what a gift to make a sacred.
People, actually.
Sorry?
It's a journey of people.
It
that
is.
You're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are things that we agree to do, and if they aren't accomplished some way, somehow, sometime, we have to get back together to
complete
it.
Mm.
So that's what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so it's just a matter of, yes, you're absolutely right. They're there to help you.
Exactly.
And move ahead. I think that's fun.
I mean, it all gets back to, you know, the life plan that you made and the amount of people that you agree at the beginning to meet up with in your life at various times. I mean, it's really amazing, you know, how it can happen. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I think you've done a remarkable job in your book.
Yeah.
Again, I would like to mention the name of that book, which is Another Place, Another Time by C.D. Montana. It's The Reincarnation of Crazy Horse. A lovely book, by the way. Where can they get it?
At the moment, mainly just online on Amazon.com or other online bookshops. We're trying at the moment to get it out into Borders and Barnes & Noble, but it's such a hard subject to try and get out into the everyday bookstores.
Really?
Mm. I can't understand why it is, but it is. So
I shouldn't think so. I mean, they have Edgar Casey in mainstream.
Mm.
You're familiar with Edgar Casey, right?
No.
No. He's called the Sleeping Prophet.
Okay.
You might look him up online. You would find reading about him fascinating.
Okay.
His last name is C-A-Y-C-E, Edgar Casey.
Okay.
And he's in Virginia Beach.
Mm.
That's where he lived. And I think you would find the reading about him would resonate with you.
Yeah, because, you know, I know that if my book could get out there, I know that a lot of people would be able to relate to it. And, you know, I'm sure that it would make a lot of people sort of wonder about themselves.
The Heritage Bookstore in Virginia Beach is a good place.
Sorry?
The Heritage?
Heritage.
Mm-hmm. Store in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
They have that type of book.
Ah, right.
And the A-R-E, that's like R-A-R-E, that is the Edgar Casey Center.
Okay.
They also have materials that are exactly along those lines, darling.
Mm.
It's a good place to contact, okay?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. I got a commission, you know. Maureen is also writing a book. I'll have her on the show one day talking about her book.
Oh, good.
Are you still on, Maureen?
Yes, I am.
Okay, why don't you let her know a little you're writing about?
Yeah, we're writing about. I'm co-authoring a book with another person, and it's about the messages that we get from our loved ones once they've gone over.
Yep.
So as I listened to your caller tonight, the woman who was in so much grief and missing her mom, sometimes the grief is so hard that pull, as Phyllis was saying, it's difficult for those loved ones to communicate with us directly, but sometimes they'll come to a neighbor or they'll come to someone where the grief is not, the pull is not as strong, you know.
That's
so
right.
That healing just takes a little bit of time.
Mm.
But your book sounds so interesting, and we need to get it out west, too, in some of the bookstores out here.
Mm.
So we'd love to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I say, I'm hoping that will happen. I've spoken to the people that are distributing it, and it's just a matter of it getting out there. But it is available on Amazon and most online bookstores. So,
these people are the two I've given you would definitely be interested in your book, no question about it.
Okay. Yep.
And I don't know where it would be in Tacoma, Washington.
Well, we actually have a Crystal Voyage bookstore out here, which is, you know, has books that deal with the metaphysical quite a bit. So, you know, we just need to get it out there. I'm just wondering if there's some sort of sacred ritual way that you could get it out there through the Dakota tribe in that connection that you have in the Crazy Horse. You know,
that's a good question. How are you've met many Sioux currently who are Sioux,
right?
I
have, but I haven't told them. Like, I've only met them as who I am, not as who I was. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sort of leaving that up to the spirit world.
Okay.
A few times I've felt, you know, when I get impatient, I think, maybe I should just try and contact a medicine man or something. And all of a sudden I have this flock of spirits just all around me sort of, you know, grabbing me, shaking me, saying, Leave it to us.
Okay.
You know, they think I'm going to mess it up. So I'm sort of just hoping that they've got their own agenda as to how to do it.
I think the right
properly.
Time and place, yes.
I don't know still how the Lakota are going to sort of handle thinking that, you know, their great Sioux warrior is, you know, is an Australian woman. It's sort of...
They are much less prejudiced, I think.
Yeah.
And European men, I want you to know. Did you know that there were women in our American Indians who were warriors?
Mm.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that, you know, they just need to accept the fact that people have to come back as different things.
Other qualities and aspects that need to be developed.
Exactly. And I know that by being how I still react to what happened to the Lakota and and my ideas on the whole thing. I know that I had to be born a fair way away from it all so that I could live my life, learn what I had to learn, because otherwise I would have come back. If I'd been born a Lakota again or born close to them over here, even just in the United States, I would have got drawn into it all a lot earlier.
Well, I think it would not have been healthy for you.
No, it wouldn't have. Not at all. It wouldn't have helped me at a soul level.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it wouldn't have even helped the Lakota, because I hadn't been, you know, I had to be right away from that whole aspect.
Right.
So Australia's about as far away that you can get.
You'll be on the same planet.
That's right. It's almost like another planet, but... My friend here, Jewel, I think she thinks sometimes I have come from another planet. But
well, you have, but let's not go into that this time.
No.
That's another story.
That's another story. Oh, dear.
I'm glad that you could laugh. I had hoped that you would be able to. It's wonderful.
Oh, definitely. I find humor in everything, even in things that I do here and things, you know, from mm-hmm. what I mean, I laugh about how I probably was last life too, and, you know, I think it's fun to be able to laugh about it and see the humour in a lot of things, because life can be too serious otherwise.
Oh, my dear, you have no idea.
Mm, I know.
yes, well, you know... We don't have a lot of hot air in Washington, D.C. for nothing. Everybody elects them and sends them to us, and we have to live in it, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's great. And a sense of humor, I think, is essential. Mm. And I have always maintained that God has a hell of a sense of humor, because look at what he created.
Exactly.
And if we aren't something to laugh at, I don't know what is.
But,
you know, having this with a sense of humor also keeps it in perspective, I think.
Mm. Oh, for
sure.
We can
get so caught up in the past and so caught up in being spiritual that we forget to be in the here and now.
Exactly.
And move through the here and now.
Yeah. I mean, it took me, when I first found out about the crazy horse thing, I mean, it really did consume me for a while. And
sure.
I mean, because all I wanted to do was just learn as much as I could about that life and about him as a person. And you know, you sort of live it day and night.
Yes.
But as time's gone on, I've learned to juggle my life now and my past life together. And I mean, I can see the connection in so many things. Just even in my personality now, with certain
issues.
And I understand
you're integrating, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the other thing. When you do find out a past life, you don't go around saying, I was the grand poobah of Peterville or whatever the hell it is.
No.
But, you know, you came in for a purpose and a lesson, and if you find out what it is, then you just kind of pick up, that's interesting, that's wonderful. Now, how can I use that? How can I amplify?
Exactly.
How can I correct what I shouldn't have done? How can I build on what I did do to make everything and everyone around me a better person?
Exactly.
So I think that's important. And again, that's the way I think sense of humor stays our little bunzitas. I don't mind me. For some reason, I've just gotten silly tonight. Well, we don't have a whole heck of a lot of time, but I wanted to say you have been an absolute joy and delight. I hope you will keep in touch.
I will.
I hope you have a lovely continuation of your trip here.
Yep.
And sorry the weather isn't better for you, darling.
Yes, it's pretty cold here at the moment.
Yes. Well,
and I think it was going to be about nearly 100 degrees where I live in Australia today, so
well,
I don't know why I'm not there. But
you're in a better place right now, anyway. But, you know, we're so glad to welcome you and have you as a guest. It's a joy speaking to people like you. And the fact is, I appreciate all the time and effort you took and your guides took to bring out that beautiful story and to share again with us that wonderful life, because he was a very brave man.
He was.
And he is someone who is deserving of respect.
Yep.
And I am so delighted, again, that we were able to connect so that you could share your time with us.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, don't be a stranger.
No.
You know, I'd like to hear from you again and see if you might not want to come on again at another time.
No, I'd love to.
So you are going to be here for another week or so before you
head
back?
I'm here for about another week and a half before I go back to Australia, yeah, and then
okay.
I'll be back in South Dakota in
okay.
July.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure if that's a guest or if that's a goodbye bell.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a guest on? No, that was a goodbye bell.
Okay.
Well, CD Montana, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful journey.
Thank you, Phyllis.
And God bless you all, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in this week. And next week we have Christina Blasoni, a wonderful, wonderful lady, a psychotherapist, and she's a great person to talk to. God bless you. Good night. Safe journey. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Bye, Phyllis.
Bye-bye.
Bye.